الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم طسم تلك آيات الكتاب المبين نتلو عليك من نبأ موسى وفرعون بالحق لقوم يؤمنون صدق الله العظيم. My most respected brothers and elders, and of course our mothers and sisters listening at home over the receiver, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us again with another Mubarak occasion, a very auspicious occasion, and that is the day of Ashura, which has commenced already after Maghrib Salat. Of course, tonight there is no significance, there is no big night tonight. But the day of Ashura tomorrow, which is Saturday, is a very auspicious day. And we can see it's a new year, Muharram has commenced. It's a new Islamic year. It seems as though the time is passing so swiftly, as though we are actually experiencing what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned in the hadith, where he mentioned various signs of Qiyamah, major signs and minor signs. And among those signs he mentioned يَتَقَارَبُ zaman, that time will move very rapidly. Now the shurah, the commentators explain, it is the same time that everybody experienced in the past. There is no difference in the number of hours or days or months. It's still 12 months in the year. It's still 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The seconds have not changed. 60 seconds per minute. But it will seem to us that the days are moving very rapidly. In other words, the barakat of the time that we have is slowly being lost. And we don't enjoy that amount of productivity as we used to enjoy previously. And the hadith explains, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, an entire year, 12 months will go past so quick, as though just 1 month passed. Whole year will move so rapidly that it will seem to the people as though just 1 month, 30 days passed. And one month will move so fast and will feel as though just a week has passed. And a week passes so quick as though just 1 day passes. And the 1 day before we can even commence the day, it's already evening. Just like a person who takes a match and he lights it. And we see that flame that ignites so quickly, like that a day goes past. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala, the great Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, مَا مِنْكُمْ إِلَّا ضَيْفٌ وَمَا لُهُ عَارِيَةٌ فَالضَّيْفُ مُرْتَحِلٌ والمال مؤدات الى والعارية مؤدات الى اهلها. He says, all of us are like guests, we are visitors at some person's home. He says, ما منكم الا ضيف. Each one of you is a visitor, is a guest. All the wealth he possesses, all the properties he possesses, everything he possesses is just taken on a loan. We have been lent that money. We have borrowed that money. It does not belong to us. وَالضَّيْفُ مُرْتَحِلُ. Any visitor who comes to a home, he's there for a couple of hours, perhaps one or two days, and then he moves on. He continues his journey. And money that we have taken on a loan, any properties we have borrowed, then we have to give back that loan to its rightful owner. وَالْعَارِيَةَ مُؤَدَّاتٌ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا. That is the rule in this world. You have taken somebody's possession, you got to give it back. So all that we possess belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has given us this comfort, Allah has given us homes and cars and monies and properties. All these things belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are just guests in this world. We're only living here for a couple of years. And one day we have to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a new year will come. And the year will pass. And the next new year comes. And then that also passes. I remember when we were young, that we used to say, 1400 years ago. Nice, much more than 1400 years ago. My respected brothers and elders, each one of us has to have his goal in front. People make New Year resolutions, and we have attached many customs to Ashura, which is not sabit, not proven from hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, nor from the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam or the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in. We have taken only those things that appease us, like having lavish meals and functions and celebrations. There's no basis for this in the Sharia. We should contemplate, reflect. A new year has come. How much more closer have I gone to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How much more closer have I drawn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Have I realized that I'm just a guest in this world? Have I realized that all the possessions I have belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So these are occasions where people just send messages around, giving greetings and things like that. But in reality, we should be contemplating that this day is so auspicious, it is so great. It is an occasion where we should turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and repent. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith has mentioned that the month of Muharram is the month of Allah. Every month belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And everything in this world belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there are certain things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has specifically attached to His name. For example, Kitabullah, the book of Allah. Rasulullah, Nabiullah, the messenger of Allah. Baytullah, the house of Allah. So this shows a special importance of those things that Allah is attaching to Him, even though everything belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like that, Shahrullah, the month of Allah. The entire month is very auspicious. But specifically, the 10th of Ashura. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to Medina, as reported by Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, and this hadith is mentioned in Bukhari and Muslim, that when Rasulullah came to Medina Munawwara, after some time, when it was Muharram, then he had observed that the Yahud, the Jews, were fasting on that particular month, day, on the day of Ashura. So he inquired, why are you fasting? So they mentioned, the day of Ashura is Yawmun Azim, it's a very great day. Anjallahu fihi Musa, wa gharraqa fir'auna wa qawmah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu salam on that day and his followers, and Allah drowned Fir'aun and his people. So Musa alayhi salatu salam, when he was saved, فَصَامَ مُوسَى فَصَامَهُ مُوسَى شُكْرًا. Musa alayhi salatu salam kept roza on the day of Ashura out of gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is where the real significance of fasting of Ashura comes about. That Musa alayhi salatu salam kept roza on the day of Ashura because it was the 10th of Muharram when Allah saved him and his followers, the Bani Israel, from the clutches of Fir'aun and his army, and Allah drowned Fir'aun and his army. So Musa alayhi salatu salam, as reported in Bukhari and Muslim, kept roza on that particular day. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then told the Jews, نَحْنُ أَحَقُّ وَأَوْلَى بِمُوسَى مِنْكُمْ. we are more deserving, we are more closer to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam than you people are. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam is closer to us. Therefore, we should be keeping roza. And Rasulullah s.a.w. kept roza on the day of Ashura. Wa amara bi siyamihi. And he commanded the Sahaba also to keep roza on that particular day. The day of Ashura, the fasting of Ashura was compulsory prior to the fast of Ramadan. When Ramadan came, then the day of Ashura fast was abrogated. It was no longer compulsory. Therefore, it is sunnat to keep roza on the 10th of Ashura. But another hadith which comes in Muslim Sharif, reported by Abu Qatada radiallahu ta'ala, he says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لَإِن بَقِيتُ إِلَىٰ قَابِلٍ لَأَصُومَنَّ التَّاسِعَ. If I remain alive the following year, then I will keep roza on the 9th as well. This day that went past was the 9th. So the 9th and the 10th, just to oppose the manner and practice of the Yahud. So even in ibadat, we will oppose them. We will not be similar to their ibadat. Even in our other aspects of deen, we differ, we oppose the Yahud and the Nasara. Islam is such a pure religion, such a beautiful religion. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I will add a fast to it. Ulama have explained that a person can keep on the 9th and the 10th roza, or the 10th and the 11th. So two fasts, those who have the ability, and inshallah we should try. If we all make an effort, inshallah, make a firm niyat, Allah Ta'ala makes it easy. What is the benefit of keeping this roza of Ashura? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, أَحْتَسِبُ عَلَى اللَّهِ أَن يُكَفِّرَ السَّنَةَ الَّتِي قَبْلَهِ. It's also mentioned in Muslim Sharif. Rasulullah said, I have high hopes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I anticipate rewards of an entire year's sins being forgiven. The year that has passed. The year that has passed, all the sins are forgiven when we keep roza on the 10th of Ashura. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give all of us a tawfiq and hidayat. I have read in the kitabs that the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, that they would even encourage their little ones, the children, to keep roza on the day of Ashura. So if this forms as part of, you know, our habit, and children realize the day of Ashura, its significance, when they grow older, they will also hold this day in great importance. Now there are so many aspects regarding Muharram. The Hijrat also, the calendar, Islamic calendar starts on Muharram. Although Rasulullah s.a.w. himself entered Madinah Munawwara only in Rabiul Awwal. But Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in, when they were commanded to make Hijrat from Makkah to Madinah, then the very first Sahaba had left in the month of Muharram. And the incident is very long. I don't have any intention to go into the whole Hijrat episode. We have heard that many times. We have read in the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the great sacrifices of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in, and the importance of having a calendar, dates. Letters would come from Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, Amir al-Mu'mineen. He would write to the governors. A letter would come giving a certain instruction, and sometimes that had to be abrogated. So he'll send another letter. But it used to happen at times that the letters would come together, and the governor would not know which order is abrogated. So in order to avoid any confusion, they had decided to fix a date as a Muslim calendar. Various views were given. Some people gave the view of the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Others gave the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But then it was decided that the day of Hijrat had commenced. And Hijrat had commenced in the month of Muharram. And therefore this is an important month in the Muslim calendar. Let us ponder, reflect and think. What is my life so far? How much have I fulfilled the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What a beautiful deen Allah has blessed us with. And we hear so many bayan and so many talks, and mashallah, so many messages will go through, and so many righteous and pious messages. But are we really reflecting on those messages that we read and we send out and we receive? Regarding how close and how true and loyal we should be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What type of qualities we should have. Our humility. Not having pride, arrogance, jealousy. We are kind, loving, compassionate people. We did not eat up the rights and devour the properties of orphans and widows and so many others. And we can see in the media what's happening now, where people are talking about how they're being exploited by groups of people. May Allah Ta'ala protect us in this country and throughout the globe. If we become practical Muslims, there's nothing else. If we follow Quran and Sunnah, and really stand up to what is haq, and develop in our lives the true qualities that Rasulullah had, and that akhlaq, then most definitely people will see the light and truth of Islam. And nobody will be able to raise any objection. People will respect us in this world. But when we ourselves who read Quran and read hadith, and we perform our salah, but when we are neglectful regarding so many aspects of the rights of human beings, last Monday we had in our majlis about hukukul ibad. One is the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fulfilling the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, mashallah, to a certain extent, we manage keeping our rozas, month of Ramadan, and our salat, our 5 daily salat, etc., our zakat, and we go for hajj. But when it comes to fulfilling the rights of human beings, be they Muslims or non-Muslims, then we are extremely deficient in this aspect. A simple thing like not blocking any person's driveway. Years and years and years, this announcement is given. It doesn't even bother us that man needs to come out of his home. If I need to park there, I must ask his permission. If he's not there, it gives me no right whatsoever. Like I mentioned previously, that when it comes for salat, then we are very humble and very generous, and we give the other person the place and the chance to stand in the first saf. MashaAllah, excellent. If we only knew the rewards of the first saf, the hadith says we'll draw lots, we'll fight with one another just to get a place in the first saf. But when it comes to parking our cars, whether it's a shopping center or the masjid, we're not generous. Everybody wants to come out together also. Everybody is hungry, everybody has to go home. But we don't show ithar. We don't show giving preference to others. If you go to the Haram Sharif, it's the same problem. Wherever we travel, it's the same problem. When are we going to display our good character to the disbelievers? If we ourselves are wrangling and fighting over silly things, our lives are being destroyed and wasted. Every day is some new issue. A brother and sister, brothers and brothers. And it just goes on and on. And if a person looks at it, it's on petty, petty, petty issues. I had no idea, no intention to go into this way, but nonetheless, respected brothers and elders, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was saved from Fir'aun. We had heard the story of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, and last week in Juma, I discussed it. But there are lessons for us. There are lessons in the Quran. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was a very great Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Nabi Karim said made Miraj, then he met Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam in the sixth sky, sixth heaven. Seventh heaven was Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. In the sixth heaven, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And that is where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, after receiving the gift of salat, and as he's coming down, he meets Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. What did Allah Ta'ala command you for your ummah? He says 50 times salat. And you know, Musa alayhi salam said, no, go back, go back. And Nabi Karim went several times until Allah made it only 5 times compulsory for us. So we owe a gratitude to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam as well. Such a powerful Nabi of Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala illustrates in the story of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and the story of Fir'aun how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises a person and how Allah causes another one to fall. And the reason for the rise and decline of people. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam is a Nabi of Allah. He is righteous, he is pious, he is obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us how Allah elevates his position. To the extent he becomes that Nabi of Allah who speaks to Allah on Mount Tur. He did not see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But he was given the opportunity to speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore he is known as Kaleemullah. The one who spoke to Allah. Like Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, Khaleelullah, the bosom friend of Allah. Nabi Kareem salatu wasalam, one higher, Habibullah, the most beloved of Allah. And Allah shows us that that Fir'aun, that tyrant, that insolent, conceited ruler, who was intoxicated with just power, his whole life was centered around power, the greed for power, the greed for wealth. And how when he was disobedient, when he rebelled against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and when he claimed divinity, and he began to say, مَا عَلِمْتُ لَكُمْ مِنْ إِلَٰهٍ غَيْرِي. Ponder and reflect over these verses. He says, مَا عَلِمْتُ لَكُمْ. I do not know for you any other deity besides myself. I am the Lord. Another verse, أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَىٰ. I am your most high and the mighty Lord. There's no other Allah. What are you talking about? Who are you inviting towards? When Musa alayhi salatu wasalam takes Harun alayhi salatu wasalam and they both go to Fir'aun. Despite Fir'aun claiming divinity, despite his tyranny, he killed thousands and thousands of Bani Israel. All because of power. He had seen a dream, and the dream, when it was interpreted by his close people, they said that your kingdom will be toppled by some male of Bani Israel. A baby will be born, and he'll become the ruler, and your kursi will be taken away. You see, powerful chair, powerful authority position. And that we find in the world today, we have tyrant rulers, so merciless. They have not even a speck of mercy in their hearts. They don't behave at all like human beings. An animal will have mercy. They don't bother at all. And they have killed thousands and thousands and thousands. Look into the pages of history. We even see it currently. So these tyrant rulers who are intoxicated, they are in a drunken stupor, as we say. They have no fear of Allah Rabbul Izzat. He says, أَلَيْسَ لِي مُلْكُ مِصْرَ وَهَذِي الْأَنْهَارُ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِي. Is not this kingdom of Egypt belonging to me? Don't you see the rivers flowing? All this belongs to me? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, despite Fir'aun rebelling against Allah, Allah tells Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, وَهَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ مُوسَى إِذْ نَادَاهُ رَبُّهُ بِالْوَادِ الْمُقَدَّسِ طُوَى اِذْهَبْ إِلَى فِرْعَوْنَ إِنَّهُ تَغَى فَقُلْ هَلْ لَكَ إِلَىٰ أَنْ تَزَكَّى وَأَهْدِيَكَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَتَخْشَى. Subhanallah, how beautifully Allah says, go to Fir'aun and call him towards my oneness. Like in another verse, اِذْهَبَا إِلَىٰ فِرْعَوْنَ. Oh Musa, you and Harun go. Because Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam had made dua to Allah. When Allah instructed him, now you go to Fir'aun. Who was Fir'aun again? Fir'aun was that person who wanted to kill this person of Bani Israel, this child is going to be born, because his people told him that this child will grow up and overthrow you. And therefore he ordered that all the boys will be killed. So all the children are killed. And Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, mother gives birth. She manages to conceal him for a time. Now she's worried. Allah sends the verse, Allah sends inspiration to her. That do not worry. لا تخافي ولا تحزني. Do not have fear. Do not grieve. All you could do is cast this child, this infant Musa, into a box, into the river Nile. Which mother will have that heart to do? Sayyidina Musa, mother, she does exactly what Allah Ta'ala has inspired her with. She takes that little child in her hand, puts him into the box, and he is gone into the river Nile. And where does this river flow? Right into the palace of Fir'aun. Sitting with Asiya, his wife. And this child is brought to them. And when she pleads and she convinces him that let us look after this child. We've got no children. This is the divine plan and system of Allah. That person who is actually going to be the enemy of Fir'aun. Allah makes it such that that same child grows in the palace of Fir'aun. So all this happens under the supervision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Musa alayhi salam grows in the palace of Fir'aun. And when he becomes, and as he's growing and he sees the injustice and the cruelty, and he cannot see how Fir'aun is killing so many people of the Bani Israel, and he is so harsh and so cruel to them. And there's an incident when a Bani Israel is being oppressed by a Qibti, one of the people of Fir'aun. And Musa Islam comes and intervenes. فَوَكَزَهُ Musa. The word in the Quran, وَكَزَ. He gives him just one blow. One uppercut, as we say. فَقَضَى عَلَيْهِ. The person dies. Musa Islam didn't mean to kill him. He was innocent. Nonetheless, he flees. He's instructed to flee Egypt. It's a long story how he goes, and then he gets married to the daughter of Shuayb alayhi salatu salam. And as they're coming back, and he requires some fire, some warmth for his wife. She was pregnant. And they needed some direction. And then he sees some fire. And that's when he goes to Mount Tur. And that's where Allah Ta'ala speaks to Musa alayhi salatu salam. فَخْلَعْنَ عَلَيْكَ إِنَّكَ بِالْوَادِ الْمُقَدَّسِ طُوَى. And Allah instructs him, now you go to Fir'aun. I must go to Fir'aun? Fir'aun is going to kill me. رَبِّ شْرَحْ لِي صَدْرِي. Oh Allah, expand my chest. Give me that conviction, give me that strength, that himmat, for me to stand before Fir'aun. وَحْلُ الْعُقْدَةً مِنْ لِسَانِي يَفْقَهُ قَوْلِي. وَيَسِرْ لِي أَمْرِي. Make my matter easy for me. And therefore he asks, oh Allah, make Harun also a Nabi, he comes with me. Allah has chosen Harun Islam, his brother, also to be a Nabi. Both of you go. And he used to stammer. So because of his stammer, he made dua, Allah, open these knots on my tongue so that the people can understand my da'wat, my message to them. So he goes. In the meantime, Musa alayhi salam had invited others toward the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And amongst those people are few people who were also in the palace of Fir'aun. And there's an incident where the hairdresser of the daughter of Fir'aun, she's busy combing the hair of the daughter of Fir'aun in the palace of Fir'aun. The hairdresser of the daughter of Fir'aun. So as she's combing the daughter of Fir'aun's hair, this comb, the brush, falls off, slips off her fingers, her hand. And when she goes to pick it up, she says, Bismillah. Daughter of Fir'aun says, Bismillah, you are taking the name of my father? She says, no. My Rabb, your Rabb, your father's Rabb, Rabbul Alameen is Allah. Your father is not God. She says, what? So immediately she goes and tells her father. Fir'aun summons her. What are you talking about? He says, Rabbi wa Rabbuka Allah. My Rabb and your Rabb, Fir'aun, is Allah. Fir'aun becomes enraged. It is mentioned in the books of Sirah, books of Tariq, that this woman had 5 children. 5 young children. The last was a little baby. Fir'aun orders this, a cauldron, boiling water is placed in front of them. He threatens to throw her children in. And he tells her to reflect and ponder again. What are you saying? Who's your Rabb? She says, my Rabb is Allah. And your Rabb is Allah. So he takes the eldest one in front of the mother. The child is thrown into the hot pot of water. We see very similar things happening today also. Those tyrant rulers, those despots who have no mercy in their heart. The same things they do, even worse. And one after the other, 4 sons of hers in front of her eyes, and now she's holding on to a little baby. Latching onto a little infant baby. And she has placed a child on her chest. Fir'aun pulls the child. And Fir'aun takes the child over the boiling pot of water. And Fir'aun says, think again. Before I throw your child inside. And she is worried. She's overwhelmed. And the child then calls out to the mother, Ya ummi isbiri, fa innaki ala al-haq. Oh my mother, have patience, have forbearance, do not fear, you are on haqq. And she says, my Rabb and your Rabb is Allah. And Firaun throws this child in, and the child, she can hear the shrieking of the child, and the little child becomes bones in front of the mother, and then he takes her, and he throws her inside. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on the night of Mi'raj, traveling with Jibreel alayhi salatu salam, as they are going on Burraq, and suddenly Rasul gets such a fragrant smell, a perfume smell, coming from some land. And he says, what is this, O Jibreel? He says, this is the fragrant smell coming out from the qabr of Mashiyatu binti Fir'aun, that the hairdresser of the daughter of Fir'aun and her children became shaheed in this way. Allah has made it such that the fragrant smell of musk is coming out from the qabrs. The wife of Fir'aun, Asiya, she also embraced Islam. And Fir'aun began to torture her. He beat her up mercilessly. And finally he takes her and he pegs her onto the wall. And what does she say? Allah mentions in the Quran, رَبِّ بِنِ لِي عِنْدَكَ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَنَجِّنِي مِنْ فِرْعَوْنَ وَعَمَلِهِ وَنَجِّنِي مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. Oh my Allah, build for me an abode in Jannat. Oh Allah, build for me a palace by you, a home by you, and protect me and save me from Fir'aun and his people who are transgressors, who are oppressors. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows her abode while she's still alive in this world. Last few moments of her life, and Allah shows her, this is your home, this is your palace in Jannat. She begins to smile. Fir'aun looks at her and he tells people, innaha majnuna, she's crazy, she's a mad woman. We are beating her up, she's bleeding profusely and she's smiling. Fir'aun did not know what Allah had shown her. He was an arrogant, tyrant ruler, disobedient to Allah. أَلَيْسَ لِي مُلْكُ مِصْرَ وَهَذِهِ الْأَنْهَارُ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِي. All this belongs to me. Belongs to me. What happens in the end? Let me cut the whole story. Read in the Quran. Allah mentioned Musa alayhi salatu salam's story throughout the Holy Quran. Approximately 124 times Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam is mentioned in the Quran. You look at Alif Lam Mim, it's mentioned. Surah, in the last para, Musa alayhi salam's story is mentioned. Throughout, for us to reflect. Are we also tyrant people in our own lives, in our own circles? Do we also display that pride, arrogance at times with our workers, with our subordinates, with our children and family? Let us reflect. It is easy to just say, only Fir'aun was a tyrant. And so many others are tyrant rulers in the world. But do we also display this type of ananiyat, as we say, I, my, love for wealth, fame, name, glory, pomp? These are things for us to reflect. Otherwise, Allah would not have mentioned in the Quran. But Allah has mentioned the stories of the past for you and I to reflect. Therefore, Rasulullah has mentioned, بِئِسَ الْعَبْدُ عَبْدٌ تَخَيَّلَ وَاخْتَالَ وَنَسِيَ الْكَبِيرَ الْمُتَعَالَ. How evil is that servant who is proud and he walks with a strut, with pomp and arrogance, and he forgets Al-Kabir Al-Muta'al, the most mighty, powerful Allah. بِئِسَ الْعَبْدُ عَبْدٌ تَجَبَّرَ وَاَعْتَدَى وَنَسِيَ الْجَبَّارَ الْأَعْلَى. How evil is that person who is haughty, arrogant, insolent, and he forgets Al-Jabbar, the most mighty Allah Rabbul Izzat, the most lofty, the most great. بِئِسَ الْعَبْدُ عَبْدٌ طَغَى وَتَعَى وَطَغَى وَنَسِيَ الْمُبْتَدَى وَالْمُنْتَهَى. How evil is that person who transgresses the limits. He forgets how insignificant he is. Like how Fir'aun forgot that he was just an insignificant speck in the vast kingdom and creation of Allah. He was nothing. So Allah says, Rasulullah says, how evil is that person who transgresses the limits of Allah, and he forgets his very inception, and he forgets his end. He forgets that he was created from a drop of sperm, and his end will be a corpse. His body will be carrion. It will be dead, decayed. Nobody will even look at him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs, when Fir'aun is given the da'wah, the message from Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he refuses to accept. He refuses to accept. And again, displays his pride, arrogance. And Allah ta'ala then informed Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, take your men, take your Bani Israel quickly at night and you move and you escape. And he is going and he comes to the Red Sea. In front of them is the Red Sea and behind is the army of Fir'aun. The formidable and strong army of Fir'aun. And they're right behind him. And the Bani Israel, they're worried. What is going to happen? Now we are sandwiched. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs Musa alayhi salatu wasalam to take his asa, his staff, his stick. And the stick of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam in the Quran, various things have been mentioned. That once in front of Musa, in front of Fir'aun, when Fir'aun called all his magicians. And there was a day where there was this competition, so as to say, a contest to see who is triumphant and who is victory, to see who is on haqq. And we see this theme in the Quran, haqq versus batil, truth versus falsehood. And Musa alayhi salatu wasalam throws down his stick, it becomes thu'banu mubin. A python, a huge snake. Fir'aun begins to shudder and shake. And all those magicians who thought that they will overpower Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, they practiced witchcraft and sorcery. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam performed a miracle, a mu'ajiza. We can never compare the both. And when the snake of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam devoured all the other snakes of all the other magicians, what did they do? They surrendered. They brought iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fir'aun became even more enraged. And he threatened them and he killed all those magicians. But Allah had blessed them with iman. So the same stick now he takes and he strikes it on the Red Sea and suddenly there is land. And they go across this river. And they are saved. And when Fir'aun comes, suddenly this land again, these roads, dry paths become water again. And Fir'aun begins to drown. He realizes how insignificant he is. How helpless he is. And his whole army is being drowned. Now he begins to shout out, Amantu bi Rabbi Harun wa Musa. Amantu bi Rabbi Harun wa Musa. I bring iman, I believe in the Rabb of Harun and Musa. What is the response from Allah? Al-ana waqad asayta. Now, after you have been disobedient. Fir'aun claimed divinity. Allah's mercy was such. Musa, you go. And give him da'wat. فَقُلْ هَلَّكَ إِلَىٰ أَن تَزَكَّى. Perhaps he will purify himself. Perhaps he'll make tawbah. Perhaps he'll come to the right path. But no. When he displayed this type of arrogance, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught him a lesson for all of us. That many a times we see the highest, we see the mightiest and the highest in this world. But when they disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then they fall into the depths of humiliation in this world and in the hereafter. So there's a rise of the believers and this is the decline of those people who are disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to take lessons from these lesson days of Ashura, especially the 10th of Ashura. Contemplate over the story of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Al-kibru bataru al-haq wa ghamtu al-nas. Man tawadha'a lillah, rafa'ahu Allah. Wa man takabbara, wada'ahu Allah. That person who shows humility, he humbles himself solely for the sake of Allah. I normally tell the students in madrasa that we don't just humble ourselves before that one uncle we see in the masjid because he's got a very pretty daughter, perhaps he'll give me the daughter in marriage. No. Your humility must be solely for the pleasure of Allah. Solely for the sake of Allah. Then if that person who displays that humility, tawadu, Allah will elevate his position. Allah will give him honor in this world and the hereafter. وَمَن تَكَبَّرَ. Whoever is proud, arrogant, وَضَعَهُ اللَّهُ. Allah will degrade him. Allah will humiliate him. So misuse of power, of position, authority, wherever we may be, whatever position we have, it will only cause us ignominy in this world
and in the hereafter. And generations upon generations will come into this world and they will curse those tyrant rulers. On the day of Qiyamah, Allah will wrap up the entire skies and the earth. يَوْمَ نَطْوِي السَّمَاءَ كَطَيِّ السِّجِلِّ لِلْكُتُبِ. Like how we take books and we close them, like that, how we overlap them, like that Allah will take the entire skies and the earth and everything in Allah's hands. And Allah will specifically address the tyrant rulers of this world. لِمَنِ الْمُلْكُ الْيَوْمِ. To whom does all this kingdom belong now on the day of Qiyamah? لِلَّهِ الْوَاحِدِ الْقَهَارِ. Only to that one Allah who is most powerful. My respected brothers and elders and our mothers and sisters, let us reflect on this beautiful incident of Musa alayhi salatu salam, how he was saved on the day of Ashura, and how Allah ta'ala drowned Fir'aun. Let us develop in ourselves true humility. We all make mistakes, nobody is perfect, but that ananiyat, that egoism, must come out of our lives. Humble ourselves in the masjid, out of the masjid, when we are driving, and when we have business, when we are at home, wherever we are, as principals, as teachers, as lawyers, as doctors, as professors, as husbands, whatever our position is, humble ourselves and Allah will give us honor and izzat. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. There's one more thing on the day of Ashura. It's very clear, the hadith of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when it is through various narrations, and then it is has been given some strength. It's a weak narration, but through various narrations, as another academic subject, but nonetheless for us, simple to understand. Man wassa'a ala ahlihi. On the day of Ashura, we are expected or we are exhorted by in the hadith of Rasulullah to spend a bit more freely on our families. So simple, normally we might buy, when you go buy a few groceries, and we will check all the prices, and then we'll say, okay, leave this out, leave that out. On the day of Ashura, you don't have to become extravagant, no. Sharia does not want us to become spendthrifty, no. But you spend a bit more freely. A little bit less come juice on the day of Ashura. Spend a bit more freely. Fill the trolley up. You will gain barakah the entire year. Alhamdulillah, many, many, many people, great scholars and many people and ulama, muhaddiseen and many young students also have experiences on the day of Ashura. Fill your trolleys up with whatever you are able, whatever you have, the means that you possess. Now, don't have to borrow from people and beg from people, no. If you are able to earn a certain amount of money and within that limits, a little bit more freely on your family, the word is ahlihi, then Allah will give you barakat for the entire year. Now, there's nothing about exchanging gifts. There's nothing about supper. Many ladies phone, Manana, the supper for Ashura is 9th or the 10th. It says no supper at all. All the hadith is telling us to spend a bit more freely on your immediate family and Allah will give you barakat. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. اللهم لك الحمد كله لك الشكر كله لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم يا الله هم غنيغار هي يا الله هم فقير هم ضعيف يا الله يا الله تو رحمان هي تو رحيم هي تو كريم هي يا الله يو موس لافينغ موس مرسيفول يا الله يا الله سلام ودرود سلام على النبي الكريم صلى الله عليه وسلم يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك المصطفى خير الخلق كلهم جزا الله عنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم يا الله forgive us all our sins my Allah our kabira gunas saghira gunas my Allah the gunas and sins we did knowingly unknowingly in the darkness of the night in broad daylight in public in privacy my Allah ya Allah we have disobeyed you my Allah ya Allah we have disobeyed you my Allah you have given us mubarak occasions again and again my Allah ya Allah just recently we had the day of Arafat. Now you have given us the 10th of Muharram, Ashura, my Allah. Don't deprive us now of the blessings of this Mubarak day, my Allah. Ya Allah, forgive us, my Allah. Forgive our parents. Forgive our wives. Forgive our children, our progeny. Our friends, ya Allah, our musallis, mutalliqeen, our mashayikh, our students. Especially these brothers who are here tonight, my Allah. And our mothers and sisters sitting over the receiver, my Allah. Forgive all of us, my Allah. Ya Allah, help us, ya Allah, to keep roza on these Mubarak days, my Allah. Ya Allah, forgive us all our past sins, my Allah. And give us a himmat, ya Allah, not to commit any sins in the future, my Allah. Make us live righteous and pious and pure lives, my Allah. Ya Allah, hamari dilo ko musaffa, mujalla, muzakka bana. Ya Allah, fulfill all our jais, tamanna and arzu and umid that we have, my Allah. Everyone sitting here has got some desire, my Allah. Fulfill our desires, my Allah. Fulfill our hajat and needs, my Allah. Ya Allah, you are well aware of all our needs, my Allah. Ya Allah, we cannot mention all those needs we have, my Allah. Ya Allah, you are well aware, my Allah. We have big needs and small needs and all type of needs, my Allah. We are, Ya Allah, we are needy people, my Allah. Ya Allah, you are independent, my Allah. We are totally dependent upon you, my Allah. Ya Allah, remove all of our difficulties, my Allah. Especially the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Especially in the war-torn countries, my Allah. They've got no shelter, no, Ya Allah, they've got no food, they've got no water, my Allah. Ya Allah, remove those tyrant rulers, Ya Allah, from this world, my Allah. If hidayat is not written for them, my Allah. Ya Allah, guide them. If hidayat is written for them, Ya Allah. Make them make tawbah, Ya Allah. Make them come back onto sirat al-mustaqim. Otherwise, my Allah, you destroy them, my Allah. Ya Allah, remove them, my Allah. May they be aman and aman in this world, my Allah. Protect us in this country also, my Allah. Protect our lives, my Allah. Protect our iman, our masajid, our madaris, our homes, our possessions, my Allah. Ya Allah, bless us with afiyah, salamati, hifazat, izzat, aman, chain, sukoon, rahat, protection, your marifat, your qurb, yaqeen, your dad. Give us the sweetness of iman, my Allah. Ya Allah, all those whose ihsan is upon us, my Allah. Ya Allah, you bless them, my Allah. Oh, Ya Allah, from your treasures, my Allah, which are so vast, my Allah, especially our parents, my Allah, Ya Allah, and every other person in whichever way, Ya Allah, His ihsan is upon us, my Allah. Ya Allah, you bless them and their families, my Allah. Ya Allah, give us mawt in Madina Sharif, baril jannatul baqi, the intercession of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the day of Qiyamah. Ya Allah, grant us the Hudi Kuthur water from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Mubarak hands, my Allah. Make us enter Jannat without any hisab kitab. Protect us from azab of qabr, azab of jahannam. Ya Allah, protect all of us from every big and small fitna, especially the fitnas of Dajjal, my Allah. Ya Allah, there are so many youngsters, Ya Allah, young boys and young girls, of marriageable age, my Allah. They wish to get married, my Allah. They want to live a nice, pious, chaste life, my Allah, a pure life. Ya Allah, you find them suitable partners, my Allah. Bless them in the nikahs, my Allah. Bless them with pious offspring, my Allah. Ya Allah, those who can't get any children, bless them with pious children, my Allah. Those who've got children, make them the children healthy and pious, my Allah. Make them become the coolness of the eyes, of the parents' eyes, my Allah. Ya Allah, make our children the coolness of our eyes. Anki tandak, my Allah. Make us the coolness of our parents' eyes, my Allah. If they are living, help us to be obedient and serve them, my Allah. If they've left this world, my Allah, grant them the maghfirat, my Allah. Ya Allah, there are so many sick and ailing people, my Allah. So many have got different diseases and problems, my Allah, in hospital, at home, my Allah. Grant each person complete shifa, my Allah. So many people have left this world, Ya Allah, especially in the recent weeks, my Allah. Ya Allah, oh, give all the marhumin jannatul firdaus. Protect them from azab of qabr, my Allah. Grant all the family members, Ya Allah, sabri jameer. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم ربنا هب لنا من ازواجنا وذرياتنا قرة اعين واجعلنا للمتقين اماما ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم وتب علينا يا مولانا انك انت التواب الرحيم سبحان ربك رب العزة ما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين